Providing timely, evidence-based content relevant to providers who care for children. Welcome to Pediatrics in Practice, presented by Children's Mercy Kansas City.
Welcome. This is Pediatrics in Practice with Children's Mercy Kansas City. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're discussing the Children's Mercy Tourette Syndrome Center of Excellence, the nation's only center of excellence devoted exclusively to kids. Joining me is Dr. Keith Kaufman. He's a pediatric neurologist at Children's Mercy Kansas City. Dr. Kaufman, it's a pleasure to have you join us. Tell us a little bit about Tourette's syndrome. What are some of the characteristics of it and symptoms?
So Tourette's syndrome is a neurodevelopmental disorder that is characterized by the presence of involuntary movements and sounds referred to as motor and vocal tics.
Well, then who's most commonly affected by it? Give us the average age and demographic breakdown, if you would.
So Tourette affects mostly young people. So the typical age of onset is somewhere between 7 to 15 years of age. And interestingly, it's one of the few conditions in the world of neurosciences that is mostly male predominant. The rate of male versus female is about 3.5 to 1.
Wow, that's an interesting statistic. Do we know the cause of it? Is there anything that we know? Is there a genetic component to it?
So presently, there are very few genetic markers for Tourette. The worldwide genetics investigations thus far have identified only 2 genes that meet criteria to be risk factors for Tourette. And at this point, those 2 genes account total for about 1% of Tourette worldwide.
So as you're meeting with children and their families, do they often experience comorbid conditions such as OCDs? What other disorders are associated with Tourette?
The data, in fact, indicates that the large majority of patients with Tourette have significant comorbid features. In a paper published a few years ago, the rate of comorbid conditions is 86% for everyone with Tourette, and at least 60% of patients with Tourette will have at least 2 comorbid conditions. The most common comorbid conditions that go along with Tourette are obsessive compulsive disorder, as you mentioned, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and anxiety disorders.
So how does it progress, Dr. Kaufman? What's the typical course? When would parents notice, and what do you want pediatricians and other providers to know about spotting the beginnings and when you feel it's really important for referral?
Tourette can present with any combination of movements. The most common movements that we see at presentation are eye blinking type movements, maybe eye rolling type movements, sniffing type sounds, or throat clearing type sounds. The threshold for when we should see patients are when tics are impacting quality of life, if they are causing pain, if they are interfering with school or desired social activities, or keeping the child awake at night. That would be the reason to send them to see someone like myself.
Well, so as we're talking about the recommended forms of treatment, Dr. Kaufman, why is it so complex? Why is it so hard to treat? And what treatments are available?
So part of the reason for the complexity and the difficulty in treatment is that Tourette is a condition for which we don't have a true biomarker. There is nothing on brain MRI that helps you to understand what Tourette is or where it lives. There's no blood test or any other test that says, yes, this is what you're treating. That's the first issue. The second issue is that from one patient to the next with Tourette, even within the same family, the presentation can be dramatically different. You can have one child in the family who has Tourette and ADHD, and that child's going to need to be treated completely differently than if his or her sibling has Tourette and OCD without any ADHD. So it really is an art of individualizing the therapy for each patient that comes within the door.
Well, then tell us about comprehensive treatment, multidisciplinary. What do you want other providers to know about the types of treatments that you do offer at the Children's Mercy Kansas City Tourette Syndrome Center of Excellence?
Our center has a combination of pediatric neurologists, child and adolescent psychiatrists, pediatric neuropsychologists, occupational therapists, family therapists, and nurse experts who are all dedicated to treating folks with Tourette and any of the comorbid conditions that go along with it. We built our team over the course of the past 7 years and kept adding specialties and services as our patients' needs evolved over time, so that we are truly a medical home for patients and families affected by Tourette.
So what do those treatment protocols look like, Dr. Kaufman? What role does medication play? Do you use cognitive therapy? Tell us a little bit about what that treatment looks like.
With regards to medication treatment, we use medication treatment if and when tics cause pain, they're causing a decline in academic performance, they're disrupting the child's sleep or sports activities, and we use medications only if other treatments have been unsuccessful. So the most scientifically proven treatment to date for Tourette is what's called comprehensive behavioral intervention for tic, which we traditionally call CBIT. So CBIT is a sensory motor therapy where a patient with tic realizes and appreciates the sensory urge that happens before most tics. And when he or she feels that urge, they engage the muscles that are involved in the tic, but in a way that makes doing the tic impossible. And this has been proven scientifically to reduce tic more effectively than any medication that's been studied.
That is so interesting. And Dr. Kaufman, as the child grows, becomes a teenager, and even into young adulthood, and they move from their pediatrician, what happens then? What is life like, and what type of providers do they stick with at that point?
Well, the interesting thing about Tourette is that for the large majority of patients, the motor manifestations, the motor and vocal tics, often spontaneously improve as the child moves into the teenage years, even if the tics themselves have never been addressed from a treatment standpoint with either medication or CBIT. What's interesting is that the obsessive compulsive disorder and the anxiety disorder, if they're present, often continue lifelong. So for many of our patients, the treatments that they need as they go into adulthood are more focused in the psychiatry realm as opposed to the neurology realm, if they're just left with the anxiety and OCD as they get older.
Well, thank you for that answer as we conclude. Tell other providers what you'd like them to know about Tourette syndrome and the Children's Mercy Tourette Syndrome Center of Excellence.
The big important point is that when you look at the patient population who has Tourette and their families, most of them cite the fact that it is the comorbid conditions that cause the greatest negative impact on quality of life. So when you're seeing and assessing someone with Tourette, be explicit and ask about any symptoms of ADHD or anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder, because it is often those conditions that cause the biggest negative impact and are untreated across the country.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kaufman, for joining us today and sharing your incredible expertise. This has been Pediatrics in Practice. To refer your patient or for more information, please visit childrensmercy.org to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other Children's Mercy podcasts. For more health tips and updates, follow us on your social channels. I'm Melanie Cole.